friends, on this day, I am overjoyed to the point of smiling as I relay to you the results of the Church Pen Friends Club fundraising drive. Donations have been pouring in from many affluent and well-respected citizens who have received specially prepared letters made up of words clipped from newspapers. Each appeal suggested the amount to be donated according to the parishioner's particular indiscretion or transgression or both. And lo, where donations were not forthcoming, and when personal appeals by our good ushers Lefty and Spike failed, letters of regret and revelation were posted to certain spouses. Special thanks at this point should go to the Boys Brigade Hobbies classes for their part in the reaping of this bountiful harvest. For without their amazing new electronic masterpiece, which they extracted from a factory at 3 a.m. one morning, it would not have been possible to bug the confessional booths in St. Teresa's across the street. All proceeds to the Let's All Pitch In to the Vicar's annual Monte Carlo Pilgrimage Fund.
Yes, it's the all-new One in a Poker Game Lincoln Vicar Show, starring in order of winnings the full-handed Ross Higgins, the straight flush Noe Brown, and five aces Kev Goldsby.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah?
I'm doing a survey on eating habits. Could you tell me what you're eating?
Big Mac.
Pardon?
Big Mac, Big Mac. Man burger.
Why do you eat only Big Mac?
Because cheeseburgers are puffy.
So you don't eat cheeseburgers?
Nah, Big Mac.
What about steak sandwiches?
Effeminate.
Effeminate?
Yeah, Big Mac.
You seem to have sauce on your chin.
Oh, where's me hanky?
Here. Oh, that's pretty lace.
Yeah.
Why do you have a lace handkerchief?
So as I don't spill sauce on me dress.
Here is a quick news flash. In Gotham City today, Caped Crusader Batman has admitted that he is troubled by middle-aged obesity and has taken a second job as a milkman to work off the excess weight. And Batman's little friend Robin, who pulls the milk cart for his partner, said that although the dynamic duo is not hampered by the problem, they do get upset when early risers refer to them as Fat Man and Dobbin.
Shop, we're closed.
No, you're not.
All right, what do you want?
The helmet of death.
Stick your head in a toaster.
No, you don't understand. I want the headgear of a hero, the defiant dome of daredevilry, the courageous crown of a champion charioteer, the bonnet of the brave, the beanie of the bold.
Look, what do you want, Bruce?
A crash helmet, a skid lid.
You got your thongs caught in your skateboard again.
Muck me not, Mrs. Jackson, for I am Bruce of Bathurst.
I?
By their thousands they gather, and the tension is electric, for it is the one Sunday of the year. The pit area buzzes with a cacophony of chrome as the scrutiny is scrute in all directions. Scrute, scrute they go, just like that. Then it's my turn. Check what you will, I have no fear, I cry, as I strip down to my Gucci racing singlet and kimbies. My pulse is A1, my vision 20/20, blood pressure tick, a quick cough, and I'm cleared.
You're going to race in the Hardy Ferrodo 1000?
Dinks, there I am on the front row of the grid. My machine and I throb as one. Disdainfully I mock my competitors. Ha ha, I mock you, Alan Moffat. A raspberry to you, Colin Bond. Pfft, like that. Try using the clutch this time, I cry. Thanks, Bruce, Jack Babram replies as he playfully taps me with a tire lever.
Now, Bruce.
The 30-second board is up. Moffat guns his Falcon, Bond revs his Tirana, and I, Bruce, cool as ice, just zip on Meduda.
I?
I'm the works driver for Victor.
You push a victor in the Bathurst race?
Oh, heavens no, I'd wear out the sandals. No, it's the latest thing, a ride on a victor with racing slicks and afterburners.
Afterburners?
Yes, I keep slipping off the seat and landing on the spark plug. The starter's flag drops, the engines roar like 1,000 demons, and the air is thick with Castrol and Goodyear. The sprint for the first corner is on, my rubber lays thick on the road, and suddenly I know I'm out there, alone.
You beat them to the corner and you're in the lead?
My tyres fell off, I'm still on the grid. My blood freezes as I realise the awful truth. Sabotage.
Sabotage?
Alan Moffat's pulled the bobby pin out of me axle again. Pit crew, I cry, new wheels. My mechanic moves like lightning, the pressure sickens ticking by. Urgently I shout, no time for the jack, even if the shops were open. Lift it manually by hand. My word is my command. In one Herculean surge of strength, my mechanic raises the victor and with the other hand slaps the wheels in place. That's good, I cry. I can see the whole race from up here.
It's truth, your mechanic must be big. What is he, King Kong of the pits?
No, my mum of Wombat Crescent. She's been giving the bull worker a bash.
Of course.
I'm off in a shower of paspalum, and by lap 53, I take Moffat under brakes at the end of Conrad.
Watch, you slip through on the inside and cut him off?
Well, sort of. Quickly, I double declutch, lower the blades, and notch and trim 8 inches off his 6-inch racing slicks. At last, victory is in my sights, but then... disaster strikes.
All right, what happened?
A pit stop. In I roar. Screech I go. I sat on the spark plug again. Quick, a pit change, I cry. My team works like clockwork. Sploosh into my Radox bath I leap. Hello, rubber ducky. No time for plays today. I've got a race to win. Then I'm out. A brisk towel down, comfy in a new racing kimby, a quick squirt of Uncle Sam, and I'm back in the race with the cleanest pits on the track.
Are you having a lend of me?
No, Dinks. Towards the setting sun I roar, and finally the checkered flag is mine. Triumphantly the ads scream their message to the world. Bruce wins on Victor. Bruce runs on BP Zoom, rides on Kimbies, and after the race, relaxes with paddle pops.
Bruce.
What?
Piss off.
Mr. McKenzie to see you, Dr. Mikimoto.
Oh, thank you, nurse. Come in, Mr. McKenzie.
Hello, doctor. I have this terrible pain in my back.
Also, no time for some more talk. You tell me what's wrong with you.
That's what's wrong with me. Pain in the lower back.
Oh, you please take clothes off.
You can
go now, nurse.
Oh, jeez.
Go now. Use keyhole like always.
Spoil sport.
Okay, you take clothes off now. Stuff your left sock in keyhole.
Right. The pain's right here. I've tried everything. Pills, liniment, truss. None of them help.
Oh, so you need a bone manipulation. You hop up on couch, face down, and tell me where it hurt.
It's just here.
Ah, yes, I fear bones are out of alignment. I manipulate.
This won't hurt, will it?
Oh, no hurt. I only touch you once. Just hear it hurt?
Yes, just there.
Ha-cha-ya, ha-ha!
Ow! Oh, what are you doing?
Pain or gone?
No, I...
Ha-cha-ya, ha-ha!
Ow!
Ta-da-da, ta-da, ha!
Ow!
You been to chiropractor before?
No! Oh, stop! I feel like a jelly!
Oh, so? What a flavor!
A Japanese joke!
Oh,
stop it! You're hurting!
Pain or gone now?
No, it's worse!
Worse? Or pain or inside your head?
You mean I imagine it?
I am very good psychologist.
Kataya!
Oh,
yeah!
Oh, me head! Ow!
Or better, got any houses you want demolish?
No. Oh, the pain. Oh,
so you need acupuncture.
Acupuncture?
Stand in front of that board, please.
No!
Triple 20, Irene! $50, please!
But I...
Thank you, sayonara. that teach a smart bugger for winning World War II?
Next, please!
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Mr. Ron Barry.
You feel like grooving, it's alright. Yeah. Well, if the music makes you feel like dancing, it's alright. Yeah. Because the music might be coming here to sing. It's alright. Yeah. Woo.
This is the ABC, and the time is a secret.
That, incidentally, is another cunningly disguised piece of ABC left-wing bias designed to bring the government to its knees and tear at the very fabric of our democratic society. So, poo to you, Sir Henry Bland.
So here it is, gardeners, the show you've been waiting for. Yes, it's time for Getting Rooted.
Hello, gardeners! Get it, Duke! It's Cecil Simpson's Getting Rooted show. So come and raise your big green thumb. It's Cecil Simpson's one and only Getting Rooted show. Put your aquasol on your bumper crop.
Just a
Cecil Simpson's Getting. Cecil Simpson's Getting.
Cecil.
Cecil Simpson's Getting Rooted show.
Just a minute. Cecil, stop this.
Sorry, Cyril, just trying to put some of the razzmatazz back into Getting Rooted.
Good, Cecil. Well, gardeners...
Oh, razzmatazz.
Cecil.
Little musician's joke, Cyril.
Good, Cess. Anyway, gardeners, atmospherically speaking, you may have noticed your crops unduly affected by the disruption to the weather caused by the recent eclipse when the sun slipped behind the moon.
Moon River.
Cecil.
Wider than a kilometre.
Kilometre?
A little metric joke. We must move with the times, Cyril.
Good, Cess. Anyway, gardeners, read the eclipse and your plants. I strongly suggest that during the eclipse proper, you screen them from the sun's ultraviolet influences.
Or better still, dig them up, take them inside and make them watch it on television.
Cecil, will you please...
A little astronomical joke, Cyril.
Anyway, gardeners, moving into the potato patch and the seeming blight that has stricken this year's crop, you'll find this could be caused by the sandy soil being over-rich.
Isn't it rich?
Yes.
Isn't it queer?
Yes, Cecil.
We haven't got any potatoes this year.
Cecil. Well, gardeners, I suggest you dig deeply...
Where are the spuds?
To ensure you...
There ought to be spuds.
...can get a good crop in the coming season.
Don't bother, have a beer.
Cecil, if you've quite finished decimating the show with your syncopated silliness, we'll say goodbye.
And now the end is near.
Cecil.
Sorry, Cyril.
So, till next time, remember this, all that glistens is not gold.
It's a snail trail.
Goodbye, gardeners.
And here she is, Carrie Bedell.
Just meeting, barely
Sit down, Jeffrey. Make yourself comfortable.
Oh, thanks. It's so nice to relax at last.
I haven't seen you for ages, Jeffrey. What have you been up to?
Oh, I haven't had a minute to myself, really. You know how it is, Val. Setting the alarm clock. Buying the lottery ticket. Busy, busy, busy.
Shall we try the sherry you brought with you, Jeffrey?
Oh, please do, Craig. It's vintage, you know.
Really?
Yes, 1926, medium dry.
Good Lord, how marvellous. Must have been expensive.
Where on earth did you manage to find it?
Well, it was terribly difficult. I'd been keeping an eye out for some for years. And then the other day, there it was.
Where?
On the bus. In a paper bag under the seat.
How lucky.
Mind you, it's not a full bottle, and I may be one or two years out on the vintage. Do you like it?
Excellent.
Cheeky little aftertaste, isn't it?
Very.
I say, Val, that coffee table's new, isn't it?
Do you like it?
Beautiful. Mahogany, I should say. A real antique.
Yes, it is. Of course, we had to chop the legs down to get it through the door.
Good piece of lateral thinking, Craig. That's Louis XIV, if I'm not mistaken.
Quite right, yes. Or is it Louis XV, Val? You're the expert on Italian furniture.
Well, yes, it's almost Louis XV.
Good Lord, isn't it magnificent the way they've inlaid the crown there in the middle? Oh, look, there's some writing under it. Oh, yes, that authenticates it.
What's it say?
Coronation Souvenir 1952 Meyer Emporium.
Just a moment. There's something here in German, too. Val, you're the expert on languages. It says, Dieu est mon droit. What does that mean?
Value and friendly service. Meyer's old slogan.
But I'm sure it wasn't new when they got it.
Heavens, I should think not. Mahogany pieces of that quality just don't grow on trees.
No. Oh, it's so nice to have tasteful furniture in one's home.
Quite right, yes. There's nothing worse than walking into a person's lounge room and being confronted by, oh, flights of china geese on the wall.
Unless they're genuine antiques.
Oh, yes, in that case.
Or unless they hang from the ceiling.
Or both.
Of course, perfectly acceptable in that case.
Ours are in the kitchen.
Charming, charming. A touch of graceful elegance.
I know what you mean, though, Geoffrey. I couldn't stand living with the usual plebeian-type surroundings.
Gosh, no. How base.
That's why we've acquired all these antiques.
Yes, I was just admiring the matching lamp bases.
Yes, we like them. Gives the place a certain colonial feel, don't you think?
Indeed.
Although I must admit that one over in the corner needs a new wick.
Yeah, you must expect some loss in the practical application of antiques. The smell of kerosene doesn't bother you, I suppose?
Good Lord, no. Not after a while, anyway.
It generates a sort of antipodean atmosphere.
Yes, marvellous. It saves on electricity, too, no doubt.
Oh, incredibly. As a matter of fact, it saved so much, we've had it cut off.
Really? You use gas for cooking, then?
Yes, well, not gas as such, more your natural gas.
It comes from the coal we pick up off the railway line.
How positively traditional.
Yes, and we use an Edwardian ploughshare as a hot plate.
I'm quite into antiques myself.
Really? What is it? A chaise longue in the back of the mini, is it? Or a Ming Dynasty elephant's foot umbrella stand?
Well, you're close. It's actually vintage cars.
Oh, vintage cars. How wonderful. Model T? FJ?
No. I've gone right back. I thought, well, if I'm going to buy one, I may as well do it properly. None of these pseudo-antiquities and hang the expense.
Good for you. And what did you decide on?
A horse and cart.
Oh, how classical. A horse and cart.
Yes, even bought the horse from the knacker's yard. If you equate it in human years, he's 185 years old.
Good Lord, I bet you turn a few heads in Pitt Street.
Yes, so does the horse if his fodder's been a bit rich.
Ah, yes. It's so satisfying to be a little above the humdrum.
Absolutely. Look, I really must go to the little boy's room, the WC.
Oh, yes. Straight through the side door there and follow the sandstock brick path. Quite interesting, really. You can see the convict thumbprints in the bricks. You'll spot them easily enough.
Yes, Craig picked them out in luminous paint.
Really? I don't quite know what to expect when I get there. Is it a genuine Victorian hand-painted porcelain bowl with pedal operation chain mechanism?
It's a hole in the ground with two palings across it.
Heavens, how quaint. Well, I shan't be long.
Don't bet on it. Oh, really, Craig, your brother is so pretentious.
I know, dear. That sherry isn't 1926 medium dry at all. It's 1932 if it's a day. Cheers.
That was the Naked Vicar Show, starring the baked and the moderate oven Rossigan, the beaten Uncle Blender Kev Goldsby, and half a cup of finely chopped Nolene Brown. The Pepper to Taste Naked Vicar Band was under the direction of the regularly basted Michael Bajanic. Noises and other sound effects were made by the likely kneaded and wrapped in greaseproof paper John McGraw, Ron Wendman, and Steve Collins. This show was recorded by the baked Uncle Golden Brown, Mike Byrne, Rupert Maslin, and Dennis Fox. Production coordinated by the first Slaughter Your Ox, Judy Murphy. Written and produced by the seasoned with Sweet Basil, Gary Riley, and Tony Sadler. With additional material by the stuffed with Sage and Onions, Doug Edwards. Julianne Ford was secured with skewers to become executive producer. The Naked Vicar Show is an RSABC production and should be served hot with skewed artichokes.